So we get to be a part of what God is doing, and that's exciting. So before we go any further, let's say our mission statement together. This is what Mercy Vineyard is all about. Would you say it with me? We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. Who's hot? Who's hot? Want to check that? Somebody want to check that? It's just hot up here. Okay. So today we're continuing our series in Luke. We are on part 9. And just to recap, Luke is one of the four Gospels, and it was written by, as Lee has said in the past, written by a doctor who was not a Jew. And it was written later than the other Gospels, and it puts the events in a historical context. So a lot of times, if you read Luke, well, you know, if you're reading through it with us, it's laid out differently than the other Gospels. And last week, Lee talked about what? It's a four-letter word. Starts with a G. Grit. I was trying to get you all to say it with me. Grit, right? Not, wow. Sorry, babe. I tried. He talked about not giving up on the things that we're praying for, right? That we need to persist. Yes, now you remember. And so today I want to talk to you about being kingdom citizens. So I'm going to embarrass myself a little bit today. When I was younger, about preteen, teen, young adult, you put that first photo up. Don't laugh because this was the style. Look at that old school TV. That shows how old I am, right? Yeah, I was pretty independent. Competitive, stubborn, and independent. I don't know what that was. So, even as a child, if somebody told me they didn't think I could do something, I would be determined to prove them wrong. All right, fine. You don't think I can do that? I'll show you I can do that. I was pretty quiet about it, but yeah, I was going to do it. It got me in trouble sometimes. But it served me well in some areas, and it's one of the reasons why I excelled in music. Because in fourth grade, I wanted to play the flute, and, you know, the band teacher came in, the band guy, and he was like, okay, what do you want to play? And we would try these different instruments, right, which are first, second, third, whatever we wanted to try. And he didn't think, well, I was very small, surprise, surprise. And he didn't think that, you know, some of the other instruments he thought would be pretty big. So, and my first choice was flute anyway. But when I tried it, he's like, yeah, I just don't think you have the embouchure for it, which means how you hold your mouth. And I was like, oh, really? Mm-hmm. We'll see about that. And so, obviously, I did play the flute, and I played it all through school. And actually, by high school, I was playing in state orchestras, and I was moving towards a career in music. So my senior picture is up. This, you guys are going to love this. Uh-huh. That's when we met. That's what he meant. Yeah. Doesn't even look like me anymore. You know, I loved God, and I wanted to do what he wanted me to do. You could take that down. But my school and career was one thing I didn't really ask God about. I loved playing the flute, I loved music, and this is what I was going to do, right? And so I knew what I wanted. And actually, I wasn't going to get married till I was like 26. I had two babies by 26, so that didn't go the way that I had planned either. But anyway, I knew what I wanted, and when I was in college, I went to college for music, and God began to work in my heart about submitting that area of my life. And obviously, things changed because, yeah, here, right? So I'm not in an orchestra somewhere. I'm not teaching music at a school. But I went in a totally different direction, but I don't have any regrets. I know that I'm where God wanted me to be, or God, where God wants me to be. But I still struggle to let God plan my days at times. Like my life, no, that's pretty easy. God, tell me what to do. But my days, That's a different story, right? And I think that we're all pretty independent, aren't we? Like, we don't like people to tell us what to do or how to plan our days, unless we ask, of course, and then we want people to tell us what to do. But otherwise, I'll live my life. And sometimes I think that God asks us to do something or to give something up to see where our hearts are. Like, if you remember Abraham preparing to sacrifice his son, Isaac, right? And God didn't really want Abraham to kill Isaac, did he? I mean, he didn't really want that to happen, but he did want to see where Abraham's heart was. Was Abraham more about his son and being the father, or was he willing to do whatever God wanted him to do? So it's not always about sin or something that we're doing that's not right. Sometimes it's just about something that we're holding on too tightly to, that we are refusing to let God have any say in, and we're just doing things our own way, right? So why does that matter? I mean, why should we care if we're not hurting anyone, right? So we always think, I'm not hurting anyone. As long as we submit our lives to Christ, can't we make the decisions in the little things and not have to consult God? Well, maybe. But I think that that might be contrary to what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. I think that God has a different plan. And the crazy thing is that the kingdom way leads to greater freedom than if we did it on our own. So let's pray, and then we're going to talk about that. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. We thank you for that you're already here, that your presence is here, but we invite you to have your way. God, your kingdom come and your will be done. God, open our hearts, soften our hearts. Give us ears to hear you and eyes to see you and hearts to receive whatever you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so today we're in Luke chapter 20. We're going to read verses 21 to 25. It says this: watching for their opportunity, the leaders sent spies pretending to be honest men. They tried to get Jesus to say something that could be reported to the Roman governor so that he would arrest Jesus. Teacher, they said, we know that you speak and teach what is right and are not influenced by what others think. You teach the way of God truthfully. Now tell us, is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Excuse me. So these leaders, let's stop for just a second. These leaders were trying to trap Jesus by asking him whether or not the Jews should pay taxes. And if he said yes, then a lot of the people in the crowd would turn against him, right? Because they believed that the Messiah would be a political hero who would save them from the tyranny of Rome and that, set them free from that rule. But if he said no, the schemers could turn him over to the authorities for being a political zealot and for causing stirring up the crowds, right? So let's continue on verse 23. He saw through their trickery and said, show me a Roman coin. Whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. So if we look at the background here in this story, all the Jews believed that it violated the command about graven images for any human being to put their image on anything, right? So to make an image of him or herself would be making a graven image, like an idol, okay? And so they felt that it was idolatrous for Caesar to stamp his image on the coins, okay? And then they also believed, like we do, that we are made in the image of God, according to Genesis 1. So we bear his image, right? We are stamped with God's image. So that means we belong to him. Makes sense, right? So he has all rights to us. So Jesus, actually, through his reply, he's pointing out the foolishness of the Jews arguing about the issue. Why are we fighting about how much of this idolatrous metal that we need to give when or how much we're supposed to keep, when we should be concerned about how much we're giving to God, what bears His image, right? Are we giving to God our whole self? Jesus is saying, this isn't the point. The point is, we bear His image, and are we giving it to Him? So Jesus didn't come to settle our political questions or give us the right form of earthly government. It's true. Jesus did not come to settle our political questions or to give us the right form of earthly government. And if we are looking for Him to do so, we're looking for the wrong thing. He came to establish a kingdom that is not of this world. His kingdom is different, right? And if you are His follower, you are part of that kingdom, the kingdom of God. And we are kingdom people, so here's what I want you to remember today. As kingdom people, all we are and all we have belongs to Jesus. Can I get an amen? Just trying to wake y'all up. So our allegiance to Him, our allegiance to Jesus, and our trust in Jesus must be over government or any other institution. Philippians 3:20 tells us that we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, right? So we do not have a dual citizenship, as some people may think. No, we're dual citizens, right? We're citizens of heaven and we're citizens of America. Wrong. If we are kingdom people, we are citizens of heaven. Period. Right? Because if Jesus was American, what about the rest of the world? Right? We are citizens of heaven and we are kingdom people. We do not have a dual citizenship. So we are not to have one foot in one world and one in the other. Philippians 1:27 tells us, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. So in other words, we're ambassadors for Him, and we're supposed to display a different way of living, a kingdom way of living, and live in a way that characterizes the kingdom that is coming, right? We believe in the kingdom is here, but it is also not yet. So the kingdom of this world is heavily invested in defending our own people group, our own religion, ideologies, you know what I mean? And political agendas, right? Isn't that what the kingdom of the world is about? Defending our own agenda and our own religion and our own people groups. But the kingdom of God is centered on simply loving like God loves. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. That doesn't mean that we go around breaking laws. No, I'm part of the kingdom of God, so I can do whatever I want. Because we also know that God tells us to submit to the laws of the land, right? But His authority is above that. So anytime the authority that we're under here goes contrary to His authority, who do we follow? His, right? He is our ultimate authority. So, because we call Him King, right? He's the King of His kingdom. So a king has all power and all authority over everything in his kingdom. Everything. And so everything in it belongs to Him. And when we make Jesus Lord or King over our lives, it means that we are submitting to that kingly rule. We're saying, you are my king. Right? And so if He is Lord over everything, that means He is in competition with no thing and no one. Just like saying it like that. Plus, you guys are so serious this morning. But really, He is in competition with no thing and no one. So if we call Him our Lord, but we don't submit, we don't actually submit to Him, then our confession, Jesus is Lord, it doesn't carry any weight. It doesn't mean anything. As someone else said this morning, it's treason. right? If you submit to your king and then you go against everything that he tells you to do, or you don't do what he tells you to do, what are you doing? He's not your king, at least not in your heart. So we're not saved or part of the kingdom of God because we said a certain prayer. It's not like, okay, Jesus, please come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Yes, that's how it begins. But the prayer isn't what does it, right? Because we're supposed to confess that Jesus is Lord, that we're making him Lord of our lives and we're giving him complete control. So if we're just saying words, they mean nothing unless we submit to him as our King and our Lord. That confession of Jesus as Lord is about a relationship that we have with Jesus where we authentically surrender our whole lives to him. So, how many of us are all the time 100% submitted in every area of our life to Jesus? Raise your hand if that's you. Yeah, that's what I thought. if this was required at all times to be saved, none of us would make it. Right? So it's not about perfection, right? To be part of the kingdom of God is not to pledge to be perfectly submitted at all times to Christ, but it is a pledge to seek to cultivate a life of submission to Christ, to forego our independent spirit, right? And to be wholly and completely his. It's about cultivating that relationship. It's about laying things down on a daily basis sometimes, right? Because we pick things up again all the time. All the time. So let's look at some areas we can start with. The first one is our desires. We need to submit our desires. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners." There it is again. We're foreigners. We are not citizens of this earth. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, right? "Keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls." So the kingdom of God seeks to transform lives from the inside out. It's not all about controlling behavior. So when we lay our desires down, however, they change. How many of you have noticed that when I said, okay, God, this is what I want for my life, but I'm going to give that to you. What do you want for my life? Now, I didn't continue to want the same things after I laid that down to him. I'm not sitting here today going, my life stinks because I didn't ever pursue, being in an orchestra or being a music teacher or whatever, right? I'm very fulfilled, very satisfied because I'm doing what he called me to do, and my desires changed when I laid those down. So the kingdom of God wants to transform us from the inside out, not control our behavior. That's icky. But the kingdom of this world is rooted in preserving, if not advancing, our self-interests and our self-will, right? And the kingdom of God is centered exclusively on carrying out God's will, even if that means sacrificing our own interests. Y'all are quiet in here today. So if the kingdom of this world is all about advancing our self-interest and our self-will, does that sound like something we should be a part of? Not at all. And we all struggle with submitting our desires. And this is why, for crying out loud, the church needs to be a safe place for confession. I mean, if we're going to pursue holiness as a people, it does not mean that we will do everything right. What it does mean is that it's a lifestyle of confession. To pursue holiness is a lifestyle of confession. It doesn't mean a lifestyle of perfection. So in the church, we need to be willing to share, right? And we need to be willing to listen without judgment. Because it needs to be a safe place for confession and repentance so that we can turn back around and go the direction we're supposed to be going. James 5:16 tells us that confession brings healing. It sounds like such a horrible thing, but have you ever noticed, those of you who have ever confessed anything to anybody else, don't you immediately feel a burden lifted? Right? And then you walk away and go, oh, why did I tell them that? But, you know, if we are a safe place, and I just want to implore you, please, 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 if somebody comes to you and confesses something and they need to work something out, they're in a place where maybe, you know, they've been in sin or they're doing something they shouldn't be doing, please just listen and love and pray with them. That's what they need, right? Because if they're confessing, they don't need you to tell them why it's wrong. They know. That's why they're confessing. So James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So let's be a church that does that. Confess and repent. There's no shame in that. I repent daily. Right? Okay, the second area is our finances. We need to submit our finances. Now, this is a hard one. But submitting our finances is more than just a money issue. It is a heart issue. In Luke 21, just one chapter later than where we are, this is a familiar story where Jesus notices the widow giving her money in the temple, right? How many are familiar with that story? She's giving the tiny bit of money that she has. And Jesus comments that she has given more than anyone, even though she only gave a little bit. Why did he say that? He said that because she didn't give what was easy. She gave like she trusted God. Do we give like we trust Him? Not always, if we're going to be honest, right? And this is why tithing is so powerful, because it demonstrates a trust in God. It demonstrates that we trust Him to be our provider, and it also acknowledges that everything we have comes from Him. So it's just a giving back of what He has given to us. So take the risk to ask Him what He would have you give, because I have never, ever, ever regretted this. There have been times where I've done it with fear and trembling, given what He's asked me to give. There was one time that, I'll never forget this, because it was the first time I ever did this. So you know how we tell you all the time, like, pay for somebody's stuff if they don't have the money, whatever, right? So I was in a store, Walmart. Anyway, there was this lady in front of me, this young woman, and she had a couple kids, and she had like just a few things. And the lady checked her out, and she's digging in her purse, and she's like, oh my gosh, I forgot my wallet. She was so embarrassed. And I'm looking at it, and I'm feeling God prompt me, pay for it. I'm looking to see how much there is, like trying to calculate. Can I afford this? He's just kind of looking and checking it out. And finally I was like, okay, because I knew he was telling me. So I was like, okay, I've got it. I told the cashier, I've got it. And I tried to do it discreetly so that this woman wasn't embarrassed. And she was like, oh my gosh, thank you, you know. And then the cashier rang it up, and it was like almost $50. And I was like, I had a little mini panic attack, because I was like, oh, he's going to kill me. Not really. But I was like, oh, I got to go home and tell him, because now I'm going to pay for my own stuff. And I'm going, what have I done? I thought it would be like $20. And she was like, just kept thanking me and over and over. And I'm like, you know. So she leaves, and I was literally so nervous, because I was like, I don't know how we're going to pay for this. But here we are, a couple of years later, we're fine. Like nothing ever happened. We paid all of our bills that week and that month, and nothing ever happened, because, you know, and I believe even if God hadn't told me and I misheard Him somehow, He would have honored that anyway, because I, you know, was trying to follow Him. We just submit all those things to Him. We just submit our finances to Him. The next area is our time. Submit your time. This includes our job, our hobbies, our rest, our play. All of our time is His. We are alive because of Him. So giving our time to Him It's just a natural response to this gift. So this doesn't mean that all of our time has to be spent in prayer and Bible reading. That's not what it means to give all your time to God, because he's glorified in our play and our rest and our hobbies. He's glorified in those things, right? It just means that we're kingdom people, so we don't live by the culture's ideas or by their wisdom. We live by God's. So Jesus spent his time on earth the way that his Father dictated, in order to accomplish what God gave him to do. So if Jesus had decided to spend his time the way he wanted to, he might not have finished everything that God gave him to do in the time he gave him to do it. And remember, we're not citizens of this world. This is not our world. We're here to accomplish something for the kingdom of God. So our time belongs to him. And we need to more often think about how we spend our time in light of eternity, rather than what would feel good in that moment. Like letting Netflix go to the next one and the next one. Gosh, is that easy? But I mean, God's in, he wants to be part of everything. Everything. Right? He wants us to center our lives around him. The next area is our rights. Oh, we like our rights, don't we? The kingdom of the world has an eye for an eye motto, doesn't it? But as citizens of the kingdom of God, we carry the cross. We don't carry the sword. We don't seek retaliation or make sure that someone pays for the wrong that they've done to us. Or that, you know, make sure that they know that what they did, right? We're to return evil with good. Remember, it's an upside down kingdom. And Jesus himself, King of Kings, the King of everything, laid down his rights. Just laid them all down. For who? For us. So rather than, you know, marching around telling everybody what our rights are, we need to be loving people. Right? And the last area is our security. Submit your security. Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples later in chapter 21 of Luke about what they would face later on, he said, even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, and friends will betray you. They will even kill some of you. Now, this was a reality for the disciples. Most of them were killed for preaching the gospel, and most of us don't have to worry about that, right? But don't we try to make ourselves feel more secure through our financial decisions or our relationship decisions, right? We crave security in this life. We want what will make us feel secure here and now. But our only real security is in Christ. And when we seek it outside of him, it only leads to more insecurity. It does not bring greater security. It only leads to more insecurity. So maybe one of these areas has struck a chord with you today. It got really quiet, so I think maybe so. I know it did me. You know, as I was studying for this and praying about it, submission is not something, like I said, that we do once and don't need to do again. We often need to resubmit areas of our lives. We take charge in areas where we're afraid. We take charge in areas where we feel like God's not moving fast enough. He's not doing it in our timing. And sometimes we take charge because we want to. We just want control. We want to feel like we have control of the situation. And most people think of freedom and submission as opposites. If you submit, you're giving up your freedom. But actually, by submitting in order to honor God, you're gaining greater freedom. Because you don't have to run your life anymore. Wouldn't that be fantastic? I, for one, do not want to run my own life because I mess it up. I like it when Jesus tells me what to do. He's a just and loving king. He can be trusted. He can be trusted with your life. And when you do submit, even when it's hard, and even when you don't want to, you will find greater peace. And you will find greater joy. So what area of your life do you need to submit to his lordship today? He has been speaking to me when I was writing this about submitting my time. Right? I've been ordering my days the way I want to. And he has something better for me. And if he really is my Lord, he has the right to ask me to change it. And I know him well enough to know that that would be a good move on my part. That would be the best thing for me. So maybe you've never become part of his kingdom and you would like to today. You don't even know what that is to be part of the kingdom of God or to feel like you are one of his. And the prayer team can pray with you about that today if that's you, that they would love to help you understand what that is and help you, you know, yes, you would pray prayer, but it's about submission to Jesus as King and Lord. And so I would like to pray together that we would be kingdom people, that we would be submitted in every area of our lives. And that if as we were talking and we're talking about those different areas and nothing came to mind, you're like, nope. I'm 100% submitted. I'm also going to pray that God would show you what areas you may need to work on. But can the worship team come and let's pray. Let's invite God to have his way. But also, like, I just want to encourage you as we sing together and as we pray together that you would once again submit your heart to him. Let him be king on the throne of your heart. Right? To have every area. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God, I thank you that because of what you did, we are citizens of your kingdom, that we are your people. That we serve a king that is just and faithful and honest. That we serve a king that loves us and takes care of us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to submit 100% to you. That we would cultivate a life of submission. That we would be willing to lay down our rights. That we'd be willing to lay down our desires. That we'd be willing to lay down our finances and our security and all the things that we hold on so tightly to that will only be here for this life. When what all we really need is you. Jesus, we surrender to your lordship. I just want you to take a moment to just take a moment with Jesus and just tell him that you submit. Whatever area that was that came to mind, just speak it. Jesus, I submit my finances. Jesus, I submit my time. I want you to have your way in my life. I want you to be in charge. Jesus, we need you. We can't live our lives without you. It's because of you that we live and move. And so, Jesus, would you come and have your way? Let's just continue to worship him and submit to him. If you want prayer, if you want to pray about anything that we talked about, if you want prayer to be part of the kingdom of God, the prayer team is in the back, and they would love to pray with you as we worship this morning. But let's just...